26 years ago, this past Columbus Day began like any other in our house. My mother, who had taught at Vanderbilt University at one time, had become ill. She developed senile dementia and was really quite childlike. We had a four-year-old child, Andrew, and our oldest daughter, Lydia, was a senior at Alexandria Senior High School. In between were Amy and Jenny and Ben. So we had a house full, and I think five is a full house. And we had a house full of people, and that morning began like any other. We went our separate ways. I came over here to work. Sandy traveled with a friend of ours, Lisa Smith, to DeRidder. And of course, going there, the shortcut through the backwoods, go through Hindston, the old Calcasieu River Bridge, and they arrived in DeRidder, and then on the trip back, something happened, and that's the event. I believe that you, Merrill, recorded that. Where is Merrill? There he is. Didn't you record that for me?
No.
You didn't? Well, somebody recorded it. Anyhow.
Yeah, I recorded it.
Okay. Merrill got a phone call that afternoon, and it was a very brief phone call. Sandy Vincent's been in a wreck. So he walked across the hall, got me. I made phone calls to all the hospitals. Nobody knew anything. It was a very tense hour or so until finally we got a phone call that said she was being flown to Cabrini Hospital and went there. And the other lady was injured slightly. Lisa Smith was injured, her neck was injured. She was driving her Toyota pickup truck. And that one part of the truck that was left intact was the driver's window. But everything else was removed from the top down. And the door collapsed and in a way covered my wife's body as it collapsed. But Lisa came to church the following Sunday, was anointed with oil, and by the elders, and nothing happened. But when she went out to get into her car, her neck snapped, and she was healed. She had no further problems. Sandy, on the other hand, went into a coma and was in a coma for some days at Cabrini Hospital in ICU. And I'm going to now let her share with you what she would like to share.
Well, I don't like getting up in front of a bunch of people. I usually try to find somebody else that will do this for me. But I just felt compelled the last couple of weeks to share my testimony and to share what's really on my heart and what I really believe that the Lord wants me to share with you. So in light of that, I'm excited to be here because when we sing these songs, I'm going to cry. I love these songs. They have a purpose for me. They have a reason for me. They have a message for me. I was there. I was in heaven. I sang these songs, and I've asked Dirk to pick these two songs deliberately for today's service because that's what I remember more than anything else is being assembled at the foot of the mountain and singing without instruments. This is our voice. That's our human voices, and no symphony can ever compare to the myriads of thousands of voices lifted up in perfect harmony. And by the way, I could sing. I can't sing now. I love to sing. But I could sing. And it was just absolutely astounding. But that's getting weird later on. Well, I don't remember anything after that accident. All I remember is getting in the car at Lisa's mother-in-law's house because she was dropping off some canned vegetables that she had purposely made for her mother-in-law. So the last thing I remembered was getting in the car in the passenger side of her Toyota truck to come home. And that's it until 3 days later. Of course, you saw what had actually happened. I have no memory of that, no memory whatsoever. Only what was described to me, what had happened. So when I woke up in ICU, the nurse began to tell me, I guess I must have been coming out of it. Bob told me that I was really in a lot of pain and they were giving me morphine and I don't know what else they were giving me. So apparently my pelvis being broken completely in two different places. And you know, I must have been in pain. But when she began to tell me that I was so annoyed with her, because at that point, we were singing praises. We were in the assembly at the foot of the mountain singing and worshiping God. And I was so annoyed by this voice pulling me. So I must have shown signs that I was coming around, telling me it was time to take more medicine, that she saw that I could take it by mouth now, not intravenously. And that I just looked at her, what are you talking about? Who are you? And so she began to tell me what had happened. And I couldn't relate to that. I was in no pain. How could it be that I was in such a horrible wreck if I wasn't feeling any pain? And so I refused to take the pain medicine. Well, they couldn't understand it either. But after a day of that, they decided, well, she was not in any pain, so we don't need to give her anymore. And so they allowed me to go into a regular room there where I stayed for, I guess, another week or so. Well, later on, I found that I had other problems, too. It wasn't until I got home in the bed that I realized recovery that I had other severe problems, like I couldn't read to my four-year-old child. And I could thought, wow, why can't I read? I understood the words, but they wouldn't come out. Then I realized I couldn't smell and I couldn't taste either. And actually, that wasn't such a bad a bad thing, not to smell. But so then we had went to Houston and found out that, I don't have all my brain functioning. And so that's why I'm not a real good communicator. I get words mixed up. I can't remember what words I'm trying to recall. So all of those goes back to, I'm going to blame it on 1988. Okay. Anyway. Okay. Well, where was I those 3 days? I want to share with you my experience. I knew it was heaven. I knew that I just arrived there. Because I remember looking at my clothes, my arms and my clothes and white robes, and I was looking around at other people, and they also were clothed in white robes. And I just remember they're smiling at me. Like that was my welcoming party or whatever. I don't remember they're talking to me. I just remember they're smiling to me, and I was just in so like a child, just in wonder as I looked around and saw beautiful green meadows and wildlife, and particularly birds and butterflies, and the colors so vibrant. I just can't describe, and the clarity, this crisp brightness of the colors, and just like a small child just gazing, like my daughter Amy, she had prayed for one time, 4 years old, for snow on her birthday, and just seeing that expression on her face when God gave her snow on her birthday. That's how I was, just in wonderment like that. Well, it was truly what I saw out of this world. It just does not compare at all. And at times, I already alluded to this, I would hear loud cymbals and trumpets, and that was our cue to assemble us, that we would go to the mountain of the Lord to worship him. And just that, and I've already given that experience, how wonderful that was. Now, I will tell you, I never saw Jesus face to face, because when you're in a multitude that you can't number, obviously, you can't see everybody, you know, and he was high on the throne and on the mountain. So I just wasn't, I never did see him face to face. But the main thing I was struck with, how bright heaven was. I don't remember seeing sky. All I remember is seeing brightness, light. And the only thing that can come close to what I saw was glory. When it talks about God's glory filling the temple, filling the earth, filling filling space. That was what I remembered seeing, was just, and struck with, just the glory the glory that shone all around me. And that just took me aback. Another feeling that I had was, while I was there briefly, I don't know how long, was how peaceful and how relaxed and how wonderful, not a worry in the world. I didn't think about how I got there. I didn't think about Bob. I didn't think about my children. I didn't think about all the to-do lists I needed to do and what was going to happen if I was in heaven and they didn't get done. None of that fazed me. All I knew was this perfect peace and harmony and just indescribable joy. I was so happy. I was so joyful. I felt so blessed. It was really an honor for me to have this experience. No rush, not consumed with time, not to consume with the worries of the world. I loved this place. I felt this is what I was made for. And I never had any thought of any past life at all, period. So to me, God gave me that vision. Is it real? Can I give you evidence for it? No, of course not. Science can't go down. There's no scientific formula that I can give you for that. I know it was real for me, that the Lord had a purpose for giving it to me, that it was my story, and there was a reason why that he didn't keep me there, that I needed to come back, and that I was not to remain up there. You know, how can you know heaven is real? Only a true believer can know that. Only one who can trust and believe in the Lord. Only the one who can call out to the Lord for forgiveness of sins, for mercy, for compassion, can be granted eternal life. Everyone knows. We just read it. That was interesting, that dirt that you had us read. John 3:16, the most probably memorized verse in the whole Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So only the Spirit of God can convince you, can show you heaven is real. Now, I want to talk briefly. It's not so for those who do not know Christ. Hell is real as well. I don't know how many of you have read the book 13 Minutes in Hell. I read it back in the summer, and I won't go into all of it because it is very graphic. But I can tell you, you don't want to go there. And the author described it just like the scriptures talk about. And I can only say, that's a place you don't want to go. But Revelation 12, 13, 15, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. They were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the fire. If you want to get that book and read it, 13 Minutes in Hell, I think it would just paint a picture and implore you to pray for your loved ones who do not know the Lord. Pray that God would open their hearts and their eyes to see. They don't have to go there. Anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I wanted to talk briefly about death is an enemy. And we instinctively fight for life. And you know why we fight for life? Because we were made to live forever. That's why we fight for life. Even on our deathbeds, we fight for life because we know something instinctively inside of us, we were made to live forever. Perhaps you've here and you've lost some precious one, a husband, a wife, grandfather, grandmother, a child, daughter, son, a baby, had a miscarriage. I want to tell you, don't be sad for them. They're in a perfect place. And if they had a choice to come back, guess what? Not that they don't love you, I don't mean that, but they would not choose to come back. They're where God wanted them to be forever, in heaven with Him. They are completely happy, joyful. I don't know what other words to tell you except heaven is for real. And you really need to find out for yourself if you're bound for heaven or not. I love teaching the children's catechism, the first three questions. Who made you? God. There is a master designer. What else did God make? God made all things beautifully with that master plan. He has all things sovereignly in His will. He has made all things beautiful. And what else did God make? He made all things. Oh, I said that. And why did He make you in all things? For His own glory. Now that was what I didn't know before I went to heaven. What does that mean, for His own glory? Because, you know, when you're a child and you're growing up and you're busy with life, you just get consumed with the nitty-gritty details of life. You don't really think a lot about heaven. Well, so I wanted a different perspective, and I got a different perspective of what glory means, to give glory to God. The Shorter Catechism says, what is the chief end of man? The chief end of man is to glorify Him, and get this, and to enjoy Him forever. Not just when I get to heaven, but here, now, in this life, to enjoy Him, to begin to enjoy Him forever in this life. I began to see that, I began to see life a lot differently. I saw I wasn't going to live forever in this life. I saw time was short. I was impressed with, it's now time to make the most of your purpose and calling in life. What was my purpose and calling in life? Again, I've already touched on it. It was to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Now, how was I going to do that? How do I glorify God? How do you glorify God? It's to bloom where you're planted. To learn to be content, whatever your stage is in life. To learn to be content where you are. And I began to be grateful and thankful for what the blessings I did have and what God had given to me. And not dream of things that might be or might not be in the future, but to zero in on my family presently that I had, a senior in high school down to a four-year-old, and try to be the best mom and try to be the best wife to my husband, letting go of resentments, not holding on to unforgiveness, but asking the Lord to release me against bitterness towards other people. And the Lord began to show me that is what glorifying God means. It's letting go of things you can't change, letting go of things that burden you, that pull you down, and seeing life and seeing other people in his own eyes. What are the eyes that Jesus sees you? They're eyes full of love, compassion, mercy, forgiveness. So I began to understand what it meant to glorify God with my life. As I began to systematically read scriptures, like from Genesis to Revelation, I got the bigger picture. That picture is a story of redemption, restoration, redemption. God holds out his arms to you and asks those, whoever you are, to come to him, that today could be the day of salvation. And I want to love the Lord with as much as my heart as I possibly can. I want to bring glory and honor to him. I want it to reflect on God's love to me. I want to reflect that to you. So, in closing, my question is, where are you with the Lord? Are you glorifying God? Are you enjoying him? He is really my best friend. I share with no one else the secrets of my heart, not even with Bob, but the Lord. The Lord is my best friend. He will never forsake me. He loves me so much, and he offers that to you.